Bob Doro singing.
Oh, thank you,
Yay.
Michael.
With me here on WBGO, and a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Wow. Old Devil Moon. That was a good one.
Yesterday.
Bobby Baby.
Shall we say 92?
Yep.
It's a good age. You know, the 90s are now the new 70s.
Yeah, that's right. I'm good. I'm good for the road.
I don't know if you remember this, but one of the more embarrassing things I've ever done was I was emceeing a concert at Town Hall, and it was a tribute to Charlie Parker, and you were on it, and you wore a purple zoot suit, and you and I were walking along Times Square. This is more than 40 years ago. With the chain, you had the chain and everything, and the hat, and everything. And I actually did my impression of you singing Old Devil Moon.
Oh, we gotta
which is the
that.
Only song I've ever sung in public in the last more than 40 years.
I rented
and
that.
It's all, you inspired me, but that's as far as I go.
I rented that zoot suit. I want
so
you to know.
You still have it?
No, I just rented it for.
Oh, you rented it?
He rented
for
it.
2 days.
But you look good. And did you ever actually have one? A real one?
Never had one, no.
Did you actually know Charlie Parker?
I did.
How did you know
him? Not well, but I went to hear him a lot, and I was at a jam session up on we called it the William Henry Hotel. 136th and Broadway. They played in the basement all night long. Joe Maney and Jimmy Nepper lived there. And, you know, the word would go around, Bird's coming tonight to jam, so the place would be packed with musicians. And I got to play a tune or two with Bird.
What did you play?
Oh, I don't know, whatever the bebop tune was. He would just start playing and you had to jump in. We knew all those tunes, you know. So, of course, the house was full of piano players, and they're pushing me off the piano. They want to turn, too.
Who else, you remember?
Oh, Hot O'Brien might have been. Oh, no, he wasn't there. He's too young. I don't remember anything, no. I just remember the William Henry Hotel. I went up there several times, but only one time was Bird there.
When you were growing up, swing was the thing, and then bebop came along, and you became a bopper. I mean, you became one of the first real bebop singers, and you're still one of the greatest, maybe the greatest. I'll say it. You're the greatest bebop singer.
Oh, thank you so much.
But well, but what was it about that, the music, that just really excited you?
The wild notes and the new kind of rhythms that cats like Roy Haynes and Max Roach made up, just the way the beat went. I met two guys in the Air Force right after I got out of the Army in my hometown of Amarillo where my parents were. And they said, have you ever heard Bird and Diz? And I said, no, I heard about them. Come over tomorrow. We got some records. So they played me Hot House. And I said, wow, is that weird? And he said, well, it's just what is this thing called love, you know? And I said, really? So he gave me the little secret of how the boppers would interpolate the old tunes and come up with their new melodies and disguise it in a way. So
Donna Lee is back home again in Indiana.
Right. All those things, How High the Moon is ornithology and so forth and so forth. So I went to North Texas thinking I was going to tell all the cats the bebop secret, but they were already jamming there, everybody. Young guys like J.B. Floyd and a couple of, they're all gone now. Not J.B., but he was a bopper.
North Texas State is like one of the great jazz schools today, certainly. And was it back then?
It started while we were there. We were playing jazz for fun, but one of the students sold the dean on the idea that this is a new thing. You know, all the young people are going to want to study jazz. So they called it dance band major. Now, I majored in composition, so you know, but I took part in the 1 o'clock lab band. It started
it's still
at one
there.
O'clock. Yeah, it was. Yeah. That's they had a lab at 1 o'clock, and it's still there.
What year was this?
46 to 49. I was there.
Okay.
Then I came to New York immediately.
But when you were first, I mean, what made you want to play the piano to begin with? Did you sing before you played, or play before you sing?
Well, I used to play by ear. You know, whenever my parents would have a piano, I'd pick out Red River Valley or whatever simple songs I knew. I was a country boy, really.
But you'd be listening to, like, Teddy Wilson?
I did listen to Teddy Wilson and you know, Lionel Hampton and Benny Goodman. And naturally, I played the clarinet in the high school band, so I liked Artie Shaw and Benny Goodman a lot. And it took me a while to discover Lester Young and Count Basie, you know.
And next thing you know, you're hearing Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk and wondering, what are they doing? And can I do it?
I subscribed to Downbeat, and every time he'd come, I'd look at the records, and sometimes we'd order them, you know. We'd all pitch in a few dollars and order the latest Thelonious Monk or certainly the latest Bird and Diz.
One reason I want to celebrate Bob Dorough, because he's great, and another is because you're the first. You're a first for me. You were the first jazz singer I ever interviewed on WBGO. You were the first to sing live in this very studio when it was new. It was on a date with you, and then Diane Reeves sang, and then Joe Williams sang.
Oh, yeah.
Your birthday twin, you both,
Joe
December
and
12th.
Yeah.
And Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. That's true.
And then you came back, you and Carol Fredette, who's with us today also, your friend and mine.
Yeah,
and
how about Carol? Songs.
Let's have a song from you, Carol. Let's just get right to it, and then we're going to talk more and hear more from Bob Dorough on WBGO.
Okay. Carol's going to sing one of my songs, I think.
What is my birthday?
It's your birthday, and we can do whatever you want. You're the boss. You're the BB, Bobby Baby.
Let's
birthday.
Do that ballad
Three
that
B's.
You do so well.
Oh, this is maybe my favorite. Probably my
Irene
favorite.
Irene Crowell was the first one to record Love Came on Stealthy Fingers. But now.
Recorded on my famous. Famous. My famous Carol Fredette album, Everything I Need, the songs of Dave Frischberg and Bob Dorough. Stealthy fingers and took me by surprise. I fell against my wishes, though I was wise, oh, so wise. For love to me was not a total stranger. I've seen it come and go and come again. I know the sweetness and I know the danger. And, oh yes, I know the pain. Love came. That old magician and beat me at the game. This time I'm lost forever. I'll never be the same. After all, what would life be like without it? Nothing's to be done about it. I might as well be happy while I may. Love came on stealthy fingers. Stole my heart away.
Mm-hmm.
I know the pain. Love came. That old magician. And then he beat me at the game. This time I'm lost forever. I'll never, no, I'll never be the same. But after all, what would life be like without it? Nothing to be done about it. Might as well be happy while we may. Love came on stealthy fingers. Stole my heart away.
Bob Doro and Carol Fredette. On WBGO, Singers Unlimited, I'm celebrating Bob Doro. 1987, you were the first singer to perform on the very first Singers Unlimited brunch, right in this very performance studio. And
I remember that day.
I've been listening to you long before then. I was in Bloomington, Indiana for years, where Hoagie came from, and you really are the continuum, I think. There's a Hoagie, and then there's you, and then Mose Allison in that same, and Dave Frischberg, your great friend, and leaping ahead, Nellie Mackay.
Oh, yeah.
In a way. Do you hear it in Nellie Mackay, that kind of whimsy? And
there's a line there.
And it's swinging and all of that. Yeah, it's really wonderful. You even worked with Nellie, right?
Yeah, I have.
She, you recorded on your album... it's just called Duets, right?
Duets.
Yeah. And you sang together a signature song for you and for Dave Frischberg, because you both wrote this. How did I'm Hip come about?
Dave and I used to hang out in New York. He came to New York City with a letter of introduction to meet me, and he looked me up, and he said, well, let's get together. So I'd go to his apartment, and thought we'd write some pop songs or something. But in the meantime, we would play each other songs we had already written. Well, he played me Van Lingle Mungo and Peel Me a Grape. And I said, Dave, you don't need me.
Right.
But finally, we only had this one collaboration. He gave me the lyric. He said, I can't do anything with this. It's just a joke, you know, I'm hip, about a guy that's hip. And I took it home over the weekend. I brought it back Monday and said, how do you like this melody? And I played it for him. And it became a song, and I think Blossom made a hit out of it.
Well, here's the hit with Bob Doro and Nellie Mackay on Jazz 88. Bob Doro, singer and songwriter, with Nellie Mackay from Bob's album of duets, came out just a couple of years ago. And New York Voices sing Devil May Care. Now, that's your most recorded song, right?
Thanks to Diana Krall, I guess. I used to try to get Tony to sing it, but I never could.
You got Miles Davis to play it. That was a pretty good deal.
That's pretty darn good.
How did the Miles Davis connection come out?
Well, you know, I was introduced formally to Miles, and he heard my LP, the one you're so crazy about, with that funny picture. He said he was visiting Terry Morrell. She was a jazz singer from Philadelphia. And she knew all the cats. We were all in L.A., Los Angeles. I got hung up and lived there almost 3 years. So I'd heard Miles many times in the Apple, but you couldn't meet Miles, you know. I knew Diz, I knew Blakey, I knew a lot of cats, but Miles was, you'd say, "Hey, Miles, I love that set." He'd just keep walking. He did not want to speak to any young fans. But out there, he said, "What's that?" And she said, "That's my pal. He writes songs, sings, and plays the piano. Let me hear it," he said. When Terry Morrell told me that Miles listened to my whole LP, I couldn't believe it. But I said, "We're going to the gig tonight." He was working in L.A., and he had Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley and himself in the rhythm section at a three-week engagement. I wasn't even going to go hear him because of the bread, but when I heard that he dug my album, I said,
"Suddenly you came up with the bread."
"Get some bread. Let's go to the gig." She said, "Miles, this is my friend I was telling you about." So I thought maybe he'd say, "Nice to meet you, Bob," or "I like your LP, Bob." But instead he grabbed me like this and said, "Bob, go up and sing Baltimore Oriole." And he shooed off Cannonball and John Coltrane and said, "Bob's going to sing one," and left me there with the bass and the drums, and I sang Baltimore Oriole. And then we hung out a little bit in L.A. and for the next 3 weeks. And, you know, he gave me his number, and back in New York he tried to help me. I opened for him at the Village Vanguard, but 1 year in 1962, he called me up. I was out in Pennsylvania working in a hotel. He said, "Bob, I want you to write me a Christmas song." Well, I couldn't believe my ears. He said, "Harold will explain it." So his attorney got on the phone. Yeah, they want him to be in this Columbia composite, and, you know, he don't want to play Jingle Bells, so I guess he wants you to write a Christmas song. And Miles came back on and said, "And you're going to sing it with me." So I went to work immediately and wrote Blue Xmas.
Blue Xmas, To Whom It May Concern. There's a subtitle, right?
Right.
I never knew that.
Were you really always, have you always been that cynical about Christmas? Or did you think
no,
that's
I'm
what Miles
Davis
a
very
Davis
sweet
wanted?
Guy. But I figured, what would Miles think about all that, you know? A little bit of bah humbug, maybe.
I should think that there's a certain amount of pride when you look back historically. And there was a, between recording with Sarah Vaughan in the 50s and for the next 25 or 30 years, you're the only singer who ever recorded with Miles Davis in this, like, three decades at least, if not more. He never really recorded much except with then Shirley Horn toward the end.
Right.
But it's you.
Yep.
And you showed up on Sorcerer, too.
Quite a feather in my hat, I guess.
Do you still
Like You became famous because of The Sorcerer.
And that was you and Fran Landesman.
Yeah.
We need to talk about Fran Landesman, too. But do you sing Nothing Like You? Just may I call upon you to whip it out?
Oh, I can do it. Yep. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you existed in days of yore. Never were lips so kissable, never were eyes so bright. I can't believe it possible that you bring me such delight. Nothing can match the rapture of your embrace. Nothing can catch the magic that's in your face. You're like a dream come true, something completely new. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you. Kisses I've known, but none so divine before. No one has your magnificence. Who can describe your charms? I like to make my residence forever in your arms. I never knew how wonderful life could be. No one but you could ever do that to me. Call me a fool in love. One thing I'm certain of, nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you. Nothing like you. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Hey, ba-boo-doo-doo, you're like a dream come true. Something completely new. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. You can call me a fool in love. One thing I'm certain of, nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you. You're all I ever dreamed I wanted. Nothing like you. I never knew that you existed. Nothing like you has ever been seen before. Nothing like you. Nothing like you. Nothing like you has ever been seen before.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Indeed. Bob Durow. Live in the WBGO Performance Studio. We're celebrating Bob's birthday just yesterday. And ageless is indeed Bob Durow. Carol Fredette is with us. And that was a lyric by Fran Lattice. But did she come to you with that, or did you work together?
Well, I was in St. Louis, and that's where she lived.
Right, with her husband, and they opened the Crystal Palace. I was a kid there, so I remember that.
Oh, yeah, the Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And I already knew a lot of the Tommy Wolfe, Fran Lanisman songs. And Tommy Wolfe talked me into going to St. Louis and being in this musical that they had written called A Walk on the Wild Side. So I was an actor. I tried to get it. I said, Tommy, I'm not an actor. I'm a singer. You know, that's a... No, no, you got to play the... I played the hero's part, Dove Linkhorn, the part of an ignorant teenage Texas boy.
And you've been one not that long before, right? Or at least not
casting, yeah.
Anyway, not so ignorant, but...
I got hung up a little bit in St. Louis, and when I left, Fran said, take these lyrics. And I said, won't Tommy be jealous? And she said, oh, I write so much, he can't keep up with me. He doesn't care, and he doesn't care. He didn't care, so I took the lyrics back to New York City, and the first one I put on my piano was Nothing Like You.
Great lyric.
I've written quite a few with Fran.
Tell me about somebody else that you worked with. I've never asked you about this, but you worked with Lenny Bruce, talking about iconic folks that you worked with.
Yes, during those 3 years in Los Angeles, I met him, and he hung out with musicians a lot. And Joe Maney lived there, and Jack Sheldon. And they were special buddies of Lenny's. And they were, whenever he wanted music, it would be Joe Maney and Jack Sheldon. And one day they put me on the band, and we did a radio show with me on the piano and them on the horns. And finally, Lenny got me a gig, you know, a cabaret kind of gig in L.A., where I had to wear a tux and sing and play. And he was friendly to all the cats. And then I played a show that Lenny Bruce produced and acted in. It was called A Sick Evening with Lenny Bruce on Melrose Avenue in a theater in L.A. And he had put it together up in San Francisco. And it was a little troupe of actors and singers. And he had some kind of shticks going on. But I was in the pit, you know, playing P. And he'd say... Yeah, at intermission, play some of that shtick you play. So I'd do, you know, hip songs, fast songs, while the audience came back in for the second act. And I've opened for Lenny about three times, once in Monterey, once in San Francisco, where the band would play, and we were pals, but I could never understand him. He was terrific mind, a great mind. He became an attorney almost.
Well, were you there when he got arrested, or you know, for any of that stuff?
I've seen that, yeah.
Because the cops would just like wait for him to say something pornographic or whatever, yeah. And then they would go look for the drugs too. You know,
little did they know, he broke down the whole thing, I think.
And was he doing sketches, or was he off the top of his head being funny? I mean, when you listen to those records, they're amazing.
Yeah, he was very funny, and the legal stuff started in later years. So we all loved him as a comic, you know, as just a funny cat, outrageous.
When you were coming up, though, that was a thing, though. There was poetry in jazz, there was comedy in jazz. Jazz was connected, and you were connected into some of that. Did you go up to San Francisco and play at the Hungry Eye and all those kind of joints?
Yeah, I played in San Francisco quite a bit, yeah.
What was the other one, the Purple Onion?
Yeah, I never quite did the Purple Onion, but I played in more jazzy clubs.
Did you get called on to do a lot of openings back then? Or did you get called on to record with other people or play with other people?
No, not that much recording. You know, I took part in one of those jazz and poetry albums.
Yes, Dog Walks Freely in the Street and Sees Reality. The things he sees smell something like himself.
A decided dog, yeah.
Absolutely.
It happened because I wrote songs to Langston Hughes' poetry, and this guru of the beat poets, Lawrence Lipton, was making this LP. And he wanted me to do the songs. And I said, that's not jazz and poetry. It's more like art songs in the jazz idiom. And he said, yeah, but I keep telling the poets they should sing when they recite. They should sing. So he wanted me. And I said, okay, but let me do one that I might call jazz and poetry. And he said, what would you do? And I said, dog. I'd been doing a little reading in the Evergreen Review, and I was hooked on that poem. It seemed to have a lot of rhythm to it. The dog trots freely through the street and sees reality.
I actually performed that because of you. I was asked to do something, and I was, again, trying to imitate you. I've been trying
great.
To imitate
Go
you
ahead.
For decades. But the great thing in that was Bob Hardaway was a tenor player.
He was.
And there's that moment in the poem, he would rather eat a tender cow than a tough policeman, though either might do-do-do-do. And then Hardaway came in with the tenor. It was just amazing. It really swung. Yeah. I loved it. I have to find that. It's been long out of print.
That's a World Pacific, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody, not the only unusual album, you did a medieval jazz group playing recorders.
I've had what you might call a variegated career, huh?
Indeed. Do you have a favorite song you want to sing for me and for all of us here?
Well, you know, I still like But For Now.
Okay.
Love song. I write mostly love songs. Sure, I know you'd like to have me talk about my future. And a million words or so to fill you in about my past. Have I sisters or a brother? When's my birthday? How's my mother? Well, my dear, in time, I'll answer all those things you ask. But for now, let me say, I love you, nothing more seems important somehow. And tomorrow can wait, come whatever. Let me love you forever, but right now, right now, some fine day when we go walking, we'll take time for idle talking, sharing every secret as we watch each other smile. I'll hold your hand, you'll hold my hand, We'll say things we never had planned, and we'll get to know each other in a little while. But for now, I'll just say I love you. Later on, there'll be time for so much more. But for now, meaning now and forever, let me kiss you, my darling. Then once more, once more. But for now, here and now, how I love you as you are in my arms. How I love you. I love you. I love you.
Bob Doro at the piano and singing, and the songwriter, and with me on WBGO Singers Unlimited. He's one of the most unlimited artists I have ever known. You do so many things, especially writing all these great songs. So I'm not asking you to, I'm not prying, but is a song like Devil May Care, is that perpetual income?
Is it perpetual?
Income. I mean, do you still get like a check a month?
Yeah, I get a BMI money, and I get digital money nowadays, you know. I've been pretty lucky, and of course Diana Krall sold a lot of records, so that helped a lot.
Small Day Tomorrow, that's another song that was recorded by a bunch of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the deal. When you're a songwriter, you want, if you can get somebody like Diana Krall or Tony Bennett or whoever to record one of your songs, that's income for life, right?
Yep. As long as the boat holds up.
Yeah, yeah. So Carol Fredette is with us, and you recorded a whole album of songs by Bob Doro and Dave Frisberg. And what is it about Bob's songs that you love so much, besides loving him?
Well, you see, that's it. I love him a lot, but he also he's brilliant. He's a wonderful, wonderful songwriter, and he also... I don't know. It's like I believe when he sings one of his songs, although it doesn't even have to be one of his songs. I just believe everything that he sings or says, so to speak. I think it's the country. It's the country in him. But his songs are just, for me, they just touch me. They just speak to me. You know, it's like it has to resonate, or I can't. You know, someone could say, oh, wow, Carol, this is such a great song. You would sing the heck out of it. And I say, yeah, it doesn't speak to me. It doesn't touch me. But everything that, you know, it's like I could have done an entire album of his songs alone and loved it. But we, you know, put it together with our producer, Ray Passman, at the time.
Such tenderly melodic love songs.
Yes.
And then you turn around and you write these very whimsical, funny songs, too.
Phew.
Like Everything I Need. You want to do that? That's one of the songs you've recorded. That's actually
give
the title song of your album, of Frisberg and Doro.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot. Okay. Yeah. got just about everything I need to make this life I lead an enjoyable thing. I got bluebirds and posies and robins and roses, all kinds of flowers that bloom, all kinds of birds that sing. I've got just about everything I'd want to make this earth I walk a miraculous place. I got fresh air and sunshine and mountains and may wine. And what is really a boon? I like the human race when I say just about everything. I mean, I must admit, one thing I need is missing. I'm not complaining with or without it. I still got what I've got. But you could better my lot with some of your hugging and kissing. That's what is missing. Just say those words that I long to hear you say, and then my life will be complete and full to the top. And I'll share all my treasures, my riches, my pleasures, making the two of us one. That's all that need be done. Just say you'll be my own, my one and only one. Then I can say I've got everything I need. I got just about everything it takes to set this scene and make it a marvelous bit. I got barrels of laughter and hope ever after. And though I don't like to boast, shucks, baby, I got it. I got it. I got everything there is to make this hers and his a terrific affair. I got dewdrops and oceans and all kinds of notions. And since I dig you the most, I've got the urge to share. Though I've got just about everything, I know for sure by now I'm gonna get what's lacking. No doubt about it, living without it, I might end up a slob, at best remain just a blob. So darling, why don't you supply it? Come on, let's try it. I could go on just as I am, year after year. Yet with that one thing more, I know I will reach that divine. Let's have you and hold you. And now that I've told you, please make a positive sign saying that we'll be mine and we will have everything. Oh, how my heart will sing when I can say I've got everything I need. Yeah, Bobby, baby.
Right, Carol Ferdinand and Bob Doro here on WBGO, Singers Unlimited. Michael Bourne with you, and they're with me, and we're celebrating Bob's birthday just yesterday. Ageless and delightful always. And I don't remember meeting you. It's like I've known you forever. But it must have been 40, 45 years ago or something like that when I came to New York for the Jazz Festival.
At least 40 years?
At least. Yeah, I remember you and Bill Takacs playing at some place that was like, you had to go up in an elevator at a hotel. It was like around Columbus Circle somewhere.
Chinese place.
Maybe. Chinese, yeah, food. Yeah. Things
I
like that.
That one.
At so many shows.
Well,
but
old Bill Takacs, he was my right hand.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that most people have heard, a lot of people have heard, Schoolhouse Rock. That's like one of your sensations. I mean, how did that come about? Because that's a Saturday morning, basically, cartoon show to teach children about numbers.
Well, you know, I was always a struggling jazz musician, and then I suddenly was the father of a beautiful daughter,
mm-hmm.
and had a wife, and I thought, oh, I got to make some money. I got to buy a house. So I owe a lot of it to Ben Tucker. You know, Ben Tucker was, incidentally, his birthday is about either the 12th or the 13th, I think.
You wrote Coming Home Baby.
Yeah, let's say hi to Ben.
Yeah. His that was a hit record, too, actually.
Wife,
so
yeah.
He made money from that, from Mel Torme recording.
Yeah, he wrote a little blues riff, and I made a song out of it, and Mel Torme did it. But we started dabbling in advertising, and Ben would get the gigs because he was a very outgoing kind of a guy, not like me. And then I'd write the jingle, and he'd book the band, and we'd produce it, and we made a few dollars. And
what jingles did you do?
Well, the one I remember most is Catawba Wine. Have you ever tried Catawba Wine? It's a gold seal veal with a winch. I've forgotten it. It was a swinger.
Catawba
I sang it.
Wine.
I sang it. That's
Get
why I remember
here.
It. But we were, I don't know, I can't remember those things anymore. But we were at it, and he met someone who wanted a jingle composer to make multiplication songs. So Ben Tucker said to this executive, "Oh, my partner Bob Duro, he can put anything to a lyric." So, I'd written a lot of what I call my pop art songs, you know, "Do Not Remove This Tag" and "Love Webster's Definition," things like that. So he played that for this gentleman, and he invited me up and commissioned me to write a multiplication song, and if he liked it, he would give me money. So I wrote it in 2 weeks. I wrote "Three is a Magic Number." And he said, "That's what I'm looking for." So suddenly I became I wrote a whole multiplication album, and wasn't even thinking about television, but his art director wound up drawing a storyboard, and suddenly we were on television, cartoons.
Saturday morning.
With my songs. And we went on to other subjects, and there were many other composers and singers in the next series, but I was the musical director. So I had a gig in television music there for a while. That was very good for me, too. I bought the house, by the way.
Did you ever, still do any of those songs? Do you ever sing My Hero Zero, my favorite? That's my favorite.
I do. I have to sing them, you know, because... years later, I was, after the kids have grown up, you know, they're working their way through college, and they'd hear me singing "Better Than Cream Cheese and Bagels," or "I'm Hip, I'm No Square," and they say, "Your voice sounds familiar. Did you ever do any of that, what was that called, Schoolhouse Rock?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." "Oh, can we have one?"
"Can I have one?"
"Well, let's do your favorite." Blossom did it. My Hero Zero?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I did this one. "My Hero Zero, such a funny little hero, but till you came along, counted on our fingers and toes. And now you're here to stay, and nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, we could never reach the star without you, Zero, my hero. What's so great about a zero? It's nothing, ain't it? Sure, nothing alone, but a place of zero after a one. You got yourself a 10 and 2 debit. When you run out of digits, you can start all over again. See how important that is? That's why with only 10 digits, including zero, we can count as high as we could ever go, forever towards infinity. No one ever guessed that, but you could try. With 10 billion zeros, from the cavemen till the heroes who invented you, they counted on their fingers and toes and sticks and stones. But now you're here to stay, and nobody really knows how wonderful you are. Why, we could never reach the star without you, Zero, my hero, Zero. How wonderful you are. Place 10 after any number, and you've multiplied that number by 10. See how easy that is? Place 20 after any number, and you've multiplied it by 100. See how simple that is? Place 30 after any number, and you've multiplied it by 1,000, etc., etc. Ad infinitum, ad astra, forever and ever, with zero, my hero. How wonderful you are.
Bob Doro, WVGO Newark, listener supported, and always was, always will be, and so will you always be on the Singers Unlimited, as you were the very first to sing on this show live, and you were the first I interviewed on WVGO. And
if I make it to 95, can I come back?
95 and then 100. Because I have to last long enough, you know, so that'll be a good thing. It's curious, you know, you've done so many things. We've talked about the medieval jazz quartet and all this other stuff, but you did this record called This Is a Recording. Now, you know, George Gershwin had lyrics by Ira Gershwin. Cole Porter wrote great lyrics and so many others. Your lyricist was the American government, the Treasury Department. You sang all the words on a $5 bill. And you sang somebody's recipe for apple pie and a parking ticket. And all these, I mean, this record, these pop art songs, is just an amazing, amazing record that you made. What else is on here?
I got that idea from a comedian named Dan Greenberg.
Oh, yes.
And he said, he brought me all these little pieces of paper and said, we could make songs out of these.
Social Security card is on here. And a weather forecast is becoming partly cloudy. Your laundry list is on here, but one of the really extraordinary songs came with the lyrics by Webster.
Love.
And you, who've written all these wonderful love songs, well, you defined love, or Webster defined love, and you just set it to music.
It's my favorite one.
Here's Bob Doro with Love, Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah.
Bob Doro singing from the dictionary, All About Love, came with us today. And you did this whole album called Everything I Need with songs by Dave Frisberg and Bob Doro. And together, you did a wonderful duet on this. Tell us about where did that song, Never in a Single Year, come from?
Came from Bob Doro.
I know, yeah.
Wrote that song.
I just got the idea one day, you know, Never in a Single Year. And went to work on it and wrote the song. I think I gave it to Jackie and Roy. And, you know, I wasn't too knocked out with their version, but at least it was a recording. And then when Carol did her Frisberg Duro Everything I Need CD, I suggested we try it ourselves. So we did this duet version of it. And I think it was pretty good with some very good jazzmen in the band.
And a great arrangement, I might add, by Bobby. Phenomenal arrangement. It swings
Never
like crazy.
Never in a Single Year.
Yeah.
That's Carol Fredette from the album Everything I Need. Carol Fredette sings, Dave Frisberg and Bob Doro sings with Bob Doro just then. That great song. There was a moment when I actually thought you and Dave Frisberg were the same person. And for some reason, you were splitting yourself into two gigs. But then one night, you played at the Village Gate, and he played at the Blue Note. And I went to both gigs just to be sure that you were two different cats.
Wow. That illustrated it, right? We were entirely different, yeah.
Happy birthday, Bob. Just always a delight. Thank you for coming in and doing this.
Thank you so much, Michael
Boone, so many things
you've
done.
WBGO.
I have to ask for one more song from you, and I have... Can you sing for me Devil May Care? It's your most favorite. Or do you want to sing something else? What, you
right
sing.
On the
you
tip
sing.
Of my tongue.
Whip one out.
No cares for me. I'm happy as I can be. I learned to love and to live. Devil may care. No blues or woes. Whatever comes later goes. That's how I take and I give. Devil may care. Now when the day is through, I suffer no regrets. I know that he who frets loses the night. For only a fool dreams he can hold back the dawn He who is wise never tries to revise what's past and gone, 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 gone. Live, love today, let come tomorrow what may. Don't even stop for a sigh. It doesn't help when you cry. That's why I live and I die. Devil may care. So live, love today, let come tomorrow what may. Don't even stop to sigh. It doesn't help when you cry. That's why I live and I die. Yeah, yeah. Devil may care. Devil may care. Devil may care. Devil may care. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Bob Doro, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday, wow. Bobby, baby.
Thank you.
You're always one of the Singers Unlimited on all WBGO. Right.
Thanks, Michael.